Hello, this is David Wilcoxon, and this is part 3 of 4 videos that prove that the 6 things declared in Daniel 9:24 were completed during the 70 weeks of Daniel 9 prophecy. Please watch the first 2 videos to understand the proper context. The narrative in Daniel 9 is about 2 covenants, the Mosaic covenant and the everlasting covenant of peace, which converged at Messiah's blood sacrifice as the spotless lamb on Passover in the spring of 31 AD. Regarding the phrase to make reconciliation for iniquity, the Strong's Hebrew dictionary word for reconciliation means to cover, cancel, to make atonement, to disannul, to forgive, to pardon, to purge away. The Scriptures Bible renders it as to cover crookedness. The King James 3 Bible renders it as to atone for iniquity. Young's Literal Translation Bible renders it as to cover iniquity. Those renderings point to Messiah's one-time sacrifice in the middle of the 70th week of Daniel 9. Recalling Daniel's prayer for forgiveness of the sin of the house of Judah, we see the merciful answer that Messiah the Prince came to forgive them of their sins. No man or people group can make reconciliation for their sins, so this can't apply to the Jews, only to our Savior. The only way for a person to make reconciliation for their iniquities is to believe in the one who the Father sent to atone for their sins. Some Jews did believe in Messiah, but most of them rejected him. Isaiah 53:6 says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all." Isaiah 53:11 says, "He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities." And it's interesting that Daniel 9:27 says, "And he shall confirm the covenant with many." So it's pointing to many people will be saved. In speaking to the Sadducees, who were grieved that the gospel of Messiah was being preached, Peter proclaimed in Acts 3:17-19, "And now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance ye did it, as did also your rulers. But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets, that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come upon the presence of the Lord." Messiah, blotting out our sins with his sacrifice, is making reconciliation for iniquity. Acts 3:23-27 says, "And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. Ye are the children of the prophets, and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, And in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first God, having raised up his Son Jesus, sent him to bless you, in turning away every one of you from his iniquities." That narrative is speaking to the Jews. And the 70 weeks of Daniel 9 prophecy is about the Jews. And we can see how that was fulfilled during Messiah's ministry. Romans 5:10-11 says, "For if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation." 2 Corinthians 5:17-21 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given the ministry of reconciliation," that is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Ephesians 2:14-16 says, "For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in the ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Colossians 1:19-22 says, "For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. And you, who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he is reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight." Titus 2:14 says, "Who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works." Hebrews 2:17 says, "Therefore, in all things, he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people." The sacrificial death of Messiah in the middle of the seventh week accomplished reconciliation for iniquity. It reconciles people unto the Heavenly Father, as Messiah's righteousness is accounted to us. Regarding the phrase, "to bring in everlasting righteousness," no man or people group could ever bring in everlasting righteousness, so this can't apply to the Jews, only to our Savior. Daniel 9:4 points to the everlasting covenant, which was confirmed, ratified by Messiah in the middle of the 7 years of the 70th week, when he died as the Passover lamb for our sins. Everlasting righteousness was what our Messiah manifested in his sinless life. By his life, death, and resurrection, he made everlasting righteousness available to all who believed by faith. The Jews who believed the Messiah received everlasting righteousness in the eyes of the Father. John 5:24 says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, and believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." That's everlasting righteousness. John 6:40 says, "And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son, and believeth on him, may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." John 6:47 says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me have everlasting life." Romans 6:22 says, "But now, being made free from sin, and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end, everlasting life." So why do we receive everlasting life? Because the righteousness of Messiah is attributed to us. That's everlasting righteousness. Romans 1:15-17 says, "So as much as is in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Romans 3:21-22 says, "But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ, to all and on all who believe." Romans 3:23-26 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath sent before to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just, and the justifier of him that believeth in Jesus." Romans 5:12-21 says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, so that all have sinned. For until the law sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift of grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience were many made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered, that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life, by Jesus Christ our Lord. Righteousness unto eternal life is everlasting righteousness. 1 Corinthians 1:30 says, But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That's everlasting righteousness. Colossians 2:13-14 says, And you, being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. So here we see the connection of the two covenants referred to in Daniel 9, the Mosaic covenant and the everlasting covenant, which both pointed to Messiah's atonement for our sins in the middle of the 7 years of the 70th week. The written record of our sins, per the Mosaic covenant, condemns us to death. Still, the sacrifice of our beloved Messiah nailed it to the cross, giving us everlasting righteousness and everlasting life. Hebrews 8:12 says, For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Is there any doubt that Messiah ushered in everlasting righteousness to those who believe in him? Daniel 9:24 is essentially pointing to the end of the Mosaic ceremonial laws, which all pointed to Messiah. Only Messiah's shed blood atones for our sins and reconciles us to the Father and bestows upon us Messiah's righteousness. Messiah's atonement seals up the vision of the Old Testament and prophecies which point to him. In the next video, I'll go through the last two things in Daniel 9:26, which were fulfilled during the 7th week of Daniel 9. If this video helped you, please click on the thumbs up, make a comment, and share it with others. You can print out PDF summaries, request a free PDF copy of the 70th week of Daniel 9 decoded book, or get a printed copy at www.70thweekofdaniel.com. That's all for today. I love y'all. Shalom.